Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes.
Welcome to the podcast.
Chaos in the car park.
Chaos in the car park. We're at Seal Hain. It's a busy old car park. I'm not quite sure how we're going to get out. It's like Jenga.
Yeah.
Here today.
Yeah.
We came in when it was empty.
And now it's full.
Now it's full. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to get out, but we'll manage. I might be here a while.
Yeah.
Two very different games to talk about this week.
Oh, we have, don't we?
A disappointing defeat on Saturday, which made everybody...
I've written that a few times this week.
...wring their hands.
Disappointing defeat.
And then a very convincing win, which you've also written. On Tuesday night. A game when, simply as we said before the press conference, when every Talker United player on the pitch was better than his other half, than his counterpart in the Farnborough side.
That was a thumbs up from Dave.
That was a thumbs up from Dave. Night, always nice to see Dave. Dave,
good see
luck,
you later.
Good luck getting out of the car park, Dave. It's like Jenga in here. Dave spotted a window of opportunity. Yeah. There we go. So, it's not Gary Johnson today.
No, it's not.
We've chatted to Aaron Downes this
morning. Does it feel weird saying on the other side of, and then it's not Gary Johnson?
I'll let you know in a minute.
Okay.
Gary's busy.
I did it the other week when you were away.
Yeah?
It felt weird.
Gary's busy. Aaron's taken the press conference this morning, answering questions on Aveley, on Farnborough, on Chelmsford. And interestingly, something that we'll come on to afterwards, on Brett McGavin.
Yeah. But Project McGavin.
Project McGavin. We'll be back on the other side of Aaron Downes.
Feel weird?
Feels weird.
So, Aaron, if we look back for a moment on Tuesday night's victory over Farnborough, 3-0 win, obviously goals for the strikers, clean sheet, couldn't go much better,
didn't it? It was a good night, a good evening. As the manager alluded in his interview, it was a good night for the club. Supporters and players and staff, you know, it was a really good night. So we put a good account of ourselves. We knew we had to pass the ball better than what we had done previously, and we've been winning a few games without the performance necessarily being as good as what we would like and hope. And especially after Saturday against Aveley, credit to Aveley, they were really good on the day. But ourselves, we knew we needed a reaction, and the boys were fantastic, and they put in a good performance and a good reaction and showed what a good side we can be. So it was nice to win the game, but also play well, which we've been wanting and hoping for, and we've been trying our hardest to get out of the players, and they really showed what they've got, and it stands us in good stead moving forward. It gives us a lot of confidence to show that we've got that kind of game in us. So yeah, it was really pleasing.
One of the things that the gaffer alluded to at full time was that the team had earned the right to get that result. Now, that doesn't mean that there's obviously lack of effort in any other games, but it's sometimes about doing the right things. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, it's because we've just gone through all the stats from previous game. We worked harder on Saturday than we did Tuesday as far as physical output, which sometimes coincides with chasing in sort of negative running, what we call, you know, negative running, where you're chasing the opposition and you're working hard because you don't have the ball, because you're not keeping the ball long enough. So we were really focused on the way we passed the ball and where we passed it and the areas we're passing, and so that was really pleasing that was able to come out. A slight tweak in formation, which helped, I think, especially against the opposition, but overall throughout the way we played. So, and earning the right is getting on seconds, I'm doing the nitty-gritty stuff, which is really important to allow our game to flourish. And the boys won first contact, second contact, really good. And then we were able to play in the right areas and mix up our game. It wasn't just one-dimensional. We had a few different varies to it. With the players we've got in our squad, we're able to utilise their strengths during the game, which was key. So it was really, as I said, really pleasing performance from our boys. And, as I said, it gives us really good confidence moving forward.
You talk about keeping hold of the ball, and brings us nicely on to the next point, is of the performances of Brett McGavin, Tom Lapsley, Will Jenkins-Davis in that midfield engine room, and also there's a nice cameo from Ryan Hansen as well when he came on. That couldn't have come at a better time with the current absence of Kevin Dawson and Asa Hawken.
Yeah, it's good. You know, we put an extra man in the midfield to give us a few sort of differences from what we've had recently, and I thought Brett was really good. Was really good, passed the ball well, and it's nice for him to be able to play in a game where we dominated the ball, and he was able to get on the ball and use his strength. So we've always had the belief in Brett as he has in himself. So it's nice to see that come to fruition. But I thought overall, you know, it's hard to pick one person from the night. We don't want to make a big thing about one good game that we've played, because there's a lot of games still to go and a big season ahead. But everybody on the night performed to a real good standard, and that's for us, for them, is important for us to say that's the level, you know, that we've got to expect every week. So really happy, and must say it's you know, the pitch was fantastic, which allowed us to play that way. So it was really well prepared, as it has been all season. But it was a really good night for football.
A lot's been made in the national media recently about the a lot of injury time in a lot of games, and that was the case again at Playmore on Tuesday. The one person seems to be taking advantage of it the most is Aaron Jarvis. He's scored an injury time of all three home victories so far. He's a really important player for this side, isn't he?
Yeah, he definitely is. And his fitness levels are very good, which allows him to cause havoc late on in games when he's ran the defenders ragged and they're all tired and knackered, and he's still bright and breezy and able to cause issues late on in games. So that's credit to him with his fitness levels and his energy levels. But it is, you know, it is prevalent, these extra minutes and extra time, and we've got to adjust accordingly. And I think we've played it quite well recently with regards to that. And we understand that it's just how it is now. You know, we can't moan. We've just got to adapt our training methods in order to make sure the boys are fit enough late on in games. It's come to fruition a few times for us, so it's been good.
But it's great to see the side finishing so strongly again. And another thing that the gaffer alluded to is that Chelmsford are one of the sides that he said are going to be one of the teams to watch out for. He's seen them recently against Hemel Hempstead. And actually, when you go up against these sides, and there's so many that are very tight at the top, no one's breaking away yet, the home advantage is going to be really important, is it? Another great show from Yellow Army on Tuesday night.
Yeah, fantastic from the home support, and really appreciate them. They know we really appreciate them very much. And their sort of voice and their enthusiasm is really infectious to our players. So it's key that carries on. So we do appreciate that. And Chelmsford are a good side. They are a good side. They, for one reason or another, they played Saturday and Monday. I think it's to do with their stadium. So they had a quick turnaround. Gives them an extra day's rest, but they had one day less, obviously, for their home game on the Monday. But they're a very good side. You know, playoff team last year and in and around it this year. I'm sure they will be, and they are at the minute. They've got a way of playing. Robbie's done a fantastic job with his recruitment, because he lost quite a few key players at the back end of last season. With the success they got, unfortunately that happens to all of us included. When you are successful, you do lose some key players, and that happened to them. But he's recruited well again this year. He's got some good players in his squad. One or two will be missing for our game, but he's got ready-made replacements within his squad to come in and do a job. So done a fantastic job, Robbie, and it will be a tough game for us, but it's down to us to make sure that we're prepared, we're ready, and that we can go out and put in a performance again that will allow us to get a positive outcome for us. Rather.
I'm good. Thank you, Aaron.
Luke Pearce, another player who had a bit of a cameo on Tuesday night. Looks like there's a lot more to come from him.
Yeah, definitely. Luke's someone we've known about for 2 years. 2 years, in fact. He puts on the scene in the 21s, quite a young age. Done really well. So we have monitored his progress, and it was an opportunity that we were able to take with him, and he was quite happy with when we spoke to him about the role we feel he's got. We said, we're definitely going to get your minutes, but we've got two strikers in Brad Ash and Aaron Jarvis, and we might play different stages, but he's definitely going to get minutes and time, and he's going to be key for us moving forward. And it was good that when he came on, that he made a really good impression to the home supporters, and I thought he put himself about. He worked really hard. We know he's got those characteristics as far as his work rate and his enthusiasm to drive us up the pitch. And barring one or two passes to him, he was close to getting a runaway sort of opportunity. It was just one or two things didn't quite work out, but he had a really good performance, we felt, and it was a perfect time to bring him on with his pace and his fitness levels. And he also put in a couple of good tackles as well, right on pop side. So it's always a good way to make yourself liked by the home support if you're putting yourself about right in front of those supporters.
And you must also be pleased that Brad and Aaron are gelling so well together, four goals each now. It's really becoming quite a partnership, isn't it?
Yeah, very good. And one thing that me and the gaffer were really pleased with was the combinations between them as well. The manager's always harping on about strike partnerships, passing to each other and assisting. An assist is just as good as a goal. And for Jarvis to assist Brad in his goal, which is really good, you know. So, and we're really happy with them too. And we knew they were going to, you know, suit each other. It's almost little and large, back to the throwback old days. But they're a good combination. They're a threat for any team, and it's our job as staff and as the players behind them to feed them and to give them the opportunity to get those opportunities. And on Tuesday night, the boys did that really well. They both had a couple of opportunities and both got themselves a goal and a good performance. So really happy with them too, definitely.
Thank you.
Lewis Collins, what's is that a...
You tell me, Dave, you just spoke to him.
No,
you've seen him get along. No, he should be fine.
Yeah, right. It's not a major issue with him.
No, it was only a minor thing. It was something that he felt in the Slough game a couple of weeks ago, and then with such a short turnaround period.
Yeah, over the bank holiday.
Playing again and again. He just felt nothing major, but just enough to keep him out for probably these last two games.
Okay.
But he should be fine.
And
should we change that?
In the fairly near future. Yeah. And Finlay Krask, similar, or is that
Finn's the same, real minor issue.
Right.
It was a kick. He's rolled his ankle on the AstroTurf at Aveley.
Right.
That's what happened on those pitches.
Yeah.
If you're just not quite right in your foot, it does go over quite comfortably. It was really sticky, the pitch. So fine. He just tweaked his ankle there, and no real major issue. Should be fine.
And how did Dean come out of? Obviously, you took him up. You took Mox off near the end of the Farnborough game. Was that a
planned? Yeah. We knew with Dan Martin, we've got a ready-made replacement.
Sure.
And Dan's fit and fine. And Dan just needed. Dan was feeling his hamstring previously in the Aveley game, but again, that was sort of planned to play Dan sort of 70 and Mox 20 to build his minutes up. And then it was a good opportunity to get Mox back into the side, albeit at reduced minutes because he's not really had a pre-season, Mox. So we're building him up as we go, and you can see on the night how important he is to our squad, our team.
Yeah. And Dylan Crowe, is he unlucky not being in the squad? Or
yeah, just unlucky. Fine. You know, Crowe is fine, fit, healthy, ready to go, and he's played some minutes this season for us, and he's absolutely ready when called.
Yeah, and we were last time we were chatting, I think, just running the rule over Aza. There's still not an operation happening with him.
No, Aza's progressing really well. Again, it was an innocuous rolled ankle. And
situation similar sort of thing. With
yeah,
him.
Yeah, so yeah, he's, yeah. He's
nothing's changed.
Not near miles away.
No,
but he's still not quite ready.
No, it's weird. There was one or two rumours flying around on Tuesday night. People were saying, "Oh, he's got to have an operation." I was going, "Really?" so situation similar with him.
It's good work.
And is Kevin able to do anything yet, Dawes?
Yeah, Dawes is doing a lot. He's doing three sessions a day, so he's working very hard. You know, between Regan and Niall,
is this upper body stuff, or can he run yet? Or
he can't run yet, but no. he's it's sort of there's a time period where you can't really do a lot.
No.
And then once you hit that time period, 6 weeks, you can really, the intensity can go up, and he's past that now. So right. He's getting a lot more work, and things will increase, you know, a lot in the next sort of couple of weeks. So he's progressing well.
Good.
Progressing well, and yeah, doing a lot of work.
Just with next week's newspaper deadline in mind, can I just quickly ask about the FA Cup draw?
Definitely can.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously big for Tim Sills, the old sort of connection and stuff.
Yeah.
Does that mean anything to Torquay United, or is it just go there and do a job?
Both. It's double-edged sword. You have to be, you know, mindful of that. You know, it'd be naive to not think about the sort of how much Sills will want to win the game.
Yeah.
Of course he will. And what it will mean to him and our supporters. They'll be really looking forward to going back and seeing such a popular figure at this football club. You know, with some key moments over the years. Obviously, we all remember the header at Wembley. So it will be really naive of us to not be, you know, aware of that. But at the same time, it's really important we let the players know that it's you know, it's a competition that we want to progress in, and we have a role to do. We have to try and block out the noise and progress in the competition. So we have to be respectful of Tim Sills' history with the football club, but at the same time, do our role and progress through. So we'll be very warm with Tim before and after. But during it is really important that we progress through the competition to us, to the supporters, to the club, to the players.
Great. Is that not an all weather pitch, is it, or not?
No, it's grass.
Goodness for that.
Yeah, it's grass.
So on that sort of wider topic, just to finish with it, the we've been playing on all weather pitches for quite a long time now, haven't we? You know, we all know that. We haven't got one, I don't think, for a little while, have we? Or we
next
got
week.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
East Hemelmstead.
Next. Oh, Hemel play on all weather now. Yeah. I didn't realise that they were one.
Yeah.
We, you know, you and Gary always say the right things, and look, it's not, you know, there's no excuses here. We train on it, etc., etc., etc. You've seen two games now on away from home. What's your take on how the home teams who play on these pitches actually approach them? Because sometimes you'd think that they would pass it to death on a pitch like that, and very often they don't. Mm. Is it something that clubs like us still, no matter how hard you try, still there's a something in the back of your mind of we're playing on one of these again today, and is it almost inevitable when you get two different services in the same division?
Yeah, no. I mean, you approach it as if it definitely is different.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get away from that. It's definitely a different service. It makes for a different game. Of course, it does. And the teams that play on it regularly, to a degree, have an advantage, but I would much, you ask any footballer, they would much rather play on grass and play the odd game on an Astro. So even though they play on it week in, week out, I'm sure they would much rather look forward to come to play more on a nice pitch than play each week on an Astro. So from a player's point of view, you would much rather play on grass every week. From a club's point of view, you can understand why they've got them financially, for the community. It all makes a really big difference to the, I'd say, the wider community and for the finances of the football club. So it's beneficial for teams to be doing that. I understand it. But there's no getting away from the fact that injury records on them pitches are a lot more, especially non-contact injuries, as far as ankles, knees, ligaments and things like that, because it's a foreign surface. So those contexts to take into consideration when you're putting a pitch down, that your injury bill might be higher. But I think, as far as we understand, they've been around a long time, as you just said, So as far as approaching going away to it, I don't feel there's a massive negative in everybody's head. It is one of them that, I don't want to be disrespectful to any club, but you have to go to some clubs that you'd rather not go to than others, i.e. facilities at some clubs are a lot less than some other clubs in this division or the division above. So it's when you go somewhere where the pitch is really bobbly and bad, change rooms are small, cold, it's middle of winter. You know, they used to say Stoke on a Tuesday night in December. You know, like, could Messi do it there? Could, you know, like, things like that. So it's only the same situation. It's just a mindset you've got to get around and get over. And those pictures are fine. Because generally, I mean, for instance, Avely, the setup, the change rooms, the ground itself and everything, it was spot on. It's perfect. Slough the same. Really nice. Really welcoming, warm club. But then you've got an AstroTurf pitch to deal with. You know, so is it any different to going to, you know, a lower league club in the FA Cup with a grass pitch, but it's not been mowed for 2 days, 3 days, whatever, and the change room's tiny? So you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
It's only a mindset thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting chat with Aaron Downes.
Yep. Dave. I'll tell you what, that's close.
Dave's window of opportunity.
He's got a serious look on his face, look.
He has. If he bends Dean Moxey's car, or Kevin Dawson's car, or somebody else's car, he's going to have a lot of answering to do at the next press conference.
Can he get out that way?
Yeah, there is. There is a window of opportunity, right, okay. There.
He's gone. He's done it.
He's made it. Well, there was a bit of tension building up there. I hope you felt that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, to get HMS Bounce Back, as my daughter likes to call it, is on the waves again after Tuesday night. Let's deal briefly with last Saturday. The game at Avely, I only saw the highlights. Your Avely who, as you knew it would, came back to bite you there.
I mean, I don't believe in that stuff, but, you know, it was written with tongue in cheek, wasn't it? And with the, by all accounts, they played very, very well. The club is run very well, and like Aaron just said, they're a good team. They're a good club.
Are they? I mean,
top of the league.
Top of the league. They're going well. There was some talk, not yourself, obviously, but there were some talk of United supporters who didn't cover themselves in glory with, we've just lost to a village side, a pub team, etc., which doesn't really read well and doesn't keep well when you've lost a game like that. It's hard to put your finger on why.
I think I can.
Something like that happens. Go on.
I think it's their pitch. Now, we've lost two games on the road in the last couple of weeks that have been frustrating. And
Lost once on the road.
I was double thinking that as I was talking it. But we struggled a bit.
The draw at Dover was a pitch
Dover.
Issue.
Slough was a pitch issue.
Yeah.
Although we came away okay from there, but it wasn't a great performance. Avely wasn't a great performance. I don't know how much you can prepare for. I mean, we've just spoken to Aaron, haven't we, at length about plastic pitches, the differences between the pitches that are artificial.
No two are the same, are they?
And he quite rightly pointed out that you can go to a grass pitch and it can be bobbly, and you can come to play more and it's a completely different affair. So, you know, it's not just differences between plastic pitches and grass, it's differences between grass and grass and plastic and plastic. But having said that, I don't think we cope with them very well.
No, it's a different game. I mean Aaron did touch on it just now, you'll have just heard that, but yeah, it is a different game, and the dynamics for the players are different. There's a risk of rolling your ankle on these pitches because they're grippy in a way that grass isn't. We've all played at a much, much lower level on plastic pitches, and they're not the same, are they?
No,
you don't get the same bounce.
It's a different game. It really is.
Yeah, it is. But there you go. For credit to Avely. Good side. Top of the league. Deserve to be there. They'll take some shifting.
Yeah, they're going to take some shifting.
They're going to take some shifting.
Because they got beaten the other day and they bounced right back. So, sign of a good team, like Torquay.
Yeah. But I mean, they're a side, they're like Sutton in a way, aren't they? Nobody thought Sutton were going to be the team to worry about
not that
in the
season,
National
no.
League that season. And no. Avely may turn out to be the Sutton of National League.
I mean,
South
interesting.
This season.
Sutton had to rip up their plastic pitch after winning promotion to the Football League because the Football League still don't allow plastic pitches. There's obviously a reason for that. So
yeah, true.
I mean,
true.
I completely understand the argument that smaller teams can make money out of being, you know, hiring out their plastic pitch all day and every day, and it's good for the community. I do get that. So there is a point, I suppose, when you get to this level where, yeah, you've got to allow them.
Well, yeah, and you look at the economics of the fact. You look at Torquay's, they're right next to the Spires Academy, who do not have any sports pitches.
No.
If, and personally I wouldn't want them to do it, but if Torquay went artificial pitch, there'd be instantly a tie-up with the school next door, which would be quite lucrative, I imagine. So, you know, it does, sort of circumstances, it makes sense.
I think if Clark gets his out-of-town stadium or whatever you want to call it, that would almost certainly be a plastic pitch, because commercially it makes sense to have one.
It does. Avely, Mark Holstead.
Yeah.
Mighty again. The highlights are full of Mark Holstead's saves. The Torquay United match highlights on the website this season have kind of been a showreel for Mark Holstead up to now, haven't they?
I hope no one's watching. Yeah, no one with influence.
But he's, he had another terrific game, another goal for Brad Ash.
Yep.
Let's move on to Tuesday, because it was much, much better.
Yeah. Gary, what did he say? He loved watching his team on Tuesday. I think he said that.
Yeah. And you could see that. If he'd been on press conference duty this morning, I'd have asked him. He was collar and tie on Tuesday night as well.
He had a suit jacket on. Yeah.
Yeah, suit, collar and tie.
It's the first time I've seen him like that.
He's probably going to have to wear that again now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Superstition.
He wasn't wearing it today while walking around the training field with his phone glued to his ear.
But it was a collar and tie game for Gary. Two goals for Aaron Jarvis. First one, a fair play to the chap, the old cliche, the bloke behind me on the pop side. When Ollie Tomlinson got the ball in defence, somebody actually yelled, "Run with it." and he did. He moved into the opposition half. He fed a lovely ball to Jarvis.
That was great
football. Again, I recommend it if you haven't seen it. Jess's pitchside videos are a really good addition to the club's coverage now. The pitchside video of Jarvis's goal actually shows much more quality in the finish than the up high video does. Goalkeeper could have done much better, but when you get a ball pinged at you that hard,
it's got a strike, and it's a left footed strike as well.
Left foot strike, terrific goal. The second goal, Brad Ash's goal in front of the family stand.
Brad Ash.
Little bit of a mix up with the goalkeeper in the defence. Very unselfish from Jarvis.
Yeah, plays
laid the ball off to Ash.
Off to him, yep.
Ash had just hit the post as well with an effort from a similar kind of a distance. Got that.
They hit the post. Cracking
shot. That
Ollie
was.
Robinson, I think he was called.
What a shot that was. That post is probably still moving.
Yeah, still wobbling.
It's still wobbling as we speak. And then a penalty. That was a soft penalty.
It was soft, wasn't it?
Was soft.
I mean, it was. At the end of the day, we didn't need it to win the game, but we got it anyway in the 98th minute. I wonder if Jarves could have just had a shot anyway.
He might well have done, but I'm not. I'm absolutely not going to quibble about that. Another.
They had ridiculous amount of yellow cards, so someone was going to have to go some point.
They did. Was it seven yellows?
I think it was eight. If you, I wrote ten. I got carried away. I wrote ten in the report, but I think it was eight if you include the two.
Yeah, they picked up a lot of yellows. Yeah. It was a 105 minute game.
Was it?
There were 5 minutes added on at the end of the first half. There were 10 added on by the time we'd finished at the end of the second. So it's another long, long game of football.
All Jarvis's home goals have come in extra time.
Extra time.
Yeah.
We're playing Gazball.
Yeah.
They play Bazball in the cricket. They play Bazball in the cricket. We're now playing Gazball.
Yeah.
Late goals. We're wearing teams down, which we should be. And 3-0, I thought, was a fair reflection of the game.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, once we scored, we were never in trouble.
No. Things that we like to see then in the Farnborough game: Dean Moxey's first start of the season. Obviously, getting
captain.
Back to fitness, captain. good game, obviously a good game, played wide on the left. There's that kind of assurance about his play, yeah, isn't there? And yeah, the other players look to him for foot on the ball, yeah, calm it down, play the right pass and start again. It's good to see him back in the side. And let's talk about Brett McGavin. Now, while I was away,
yep,
Project McGavin was launched.
Yeah, so when the last time we spoke to Aaron instead of Gary was at the South Devon College training ground, and he spoke about Project McGavin and trying to get more out of the player that he and Gary believe there is more to get out of. So obviously Project McGavin is moving in the right direction.
It is. He had a really good game on Tuesday night. This is a player that, you know, if you don't use social media, and I know some of our older listeners probably don't, but
which I didn't,
had horrendous trolling, bullying, yeah, abuse from some people who say they're Torquay United fans but clearly aren't, on social media. Because if you're a Torquay United fan, you don't subject one of your own players to the kind of nonsense that Brett McGavin's had to put up with. Now, if Brett McGavin has any sense, he won't have looked at social media, but I bet he has, because everybody does, and people do their business.
It's a horrible place sometimes, isn't it?
It's a toxic place. And to see him finish the game with a smile on his face on Tuesday,
and a standing ovation,
having played really, really well in that foot on the ball, holding midfielder, yeah, with a bit of time about him.
Yeah.
That role that we expected him to play when he came into the club, and he has done on and off.
They tweaked the formation slightly to yeah, have two midfielders playing alongside,
yeah,
McGavin. So Tom Lapsley and Will Jenkins Davis, who I thought had a good game as well.
He did have a good game.
They kind of aided that,
yeah,
possibility of giving McGavin a bit more time on the ball.
And when he plays with that kind of empty space around him, he's got the presence of mind to play the right ball,
yeah,
he plays simple balls, he didn't do anything flashy, he played the ball simply forwards, and yeah, he was just, sorry, I was slightly distracted by
fly.
A wasp.
Was it a wasp? I don't know. It was a creature.
You should never wave a wasp away, by
it's come
way.
Back look
it has come back
I
it
think it's a fly
because they release a pheromone that attracts other wasps if you flap at them. What are you? You're a hoverfly. No,
it's
just a fly.
It's a little fly.
It's just a fly. So, yeah, success on every level on Tuesday night. Luke Pearce, I liked the look of when he came on off the bench.
He played on the left wing on Saturday, and that didn't really work, I don't think. That they were struggling to find a way of winning that game anyway.
Yeah.
So, he came on, 20 minutes to go, 30 mm-hmm. minutes, 20 minutes to go, and he looked good. And he made, like Aaron said, he... couple of good tackles
there
in front
were.
Of the pop side, and you're quite
there
popular
were.
Already.
Yeah, they were. He threw himself into a couple of tackles, won the ball fair and square,
yep,
and got up and played the. Yeah,
interesting to hear Garen say that they'd known about him for 2 years and probably yeah. trying to get him for 2 years.
Yeah. So let's,
time
you know,
is now,
and as Aaron says, then we'll give you minutes. So
yeah,
you can expect
yeah.
to see more of him as an impact player from the bench. He looks decent, and we may need him on
we
Saturday
may.
When
yeah.
Chelmsford.
Yeah, Chelmsford.
They're
the
one
birthplace of my mother.
Is it really?
Well, she was from Woodford
yeah.
Green. Woodford Green? Woodford Green. So that was the local
close.
Hospital. Yeah.
They're one place and 1 point behind us.
Yep.
They're unbeaten away from home.
Yep.
So they're going to be tough.
Yeah, they are going to be tough. Tougher than I first assumed when I looked at the table at the start of the season. And
we seem to be playing all these teams at the top of the league
yeah.
early on. Ageley,
might be good
Worthing,
yeah.
Chelmsford. We haven't played
yeah.
Bath yet. So, I mean, that's still to come.
If we play like we played on Tuesday night, I don't think there's a team that can really touch us.
No.
But it's just getting that consistency of playing like that.
The player that we have in common with Chelmsford at the moment is Jazzy Barnum Bob.
What
came
a name.
In to Gary Harris.
Yeah.
He went off injured in their draw
did
at the Oval.
He? So we might not
so
see him.
So we might not see him. And their assistant manager at Chelmsford is called Mickey Spillane.
Is he?
Same name as the writer of
yeah.
American pulp cop
That's
detective
weird,
novels.
Isn't it?
Mickey, unless it's the same Mickey Spillane, he'd be
oh,
quite
let's
old
hope
by
it
now.
Is. Yeah. The thing is, you have to wonder Did his parents know what they were doing?
Must have done. It's a distinguished name, as having read a few.
And also, I guess he was a Michael, so he's chosen to go down that route as well.
But yeah, so the assistant manager, Mickey Spillane, Chelmsford. We like that a lot. So looking forward to that game. I always look forward to a game on a Saturday, but Chelmsford, it's a different challenge to Farnborough. I think Chelmsford, I'm expecting Chelmsford to be a better side than Farnborough. As we say, no disrespect to Farnborough, immediately pain and disrespect, but you know what I mean, I'm expecting more from Chelmsford than we saw from Farnborough.
Yeah.
So yeah, good. Should be a good game. Can't see any reason why we can't win it though.
Oh, there's a, you put it out there, haven't you?
I have put it out there. Interesting to hear that the players who are slightly injured aren't long-term injured.
Some good.
Lewis Collins is okay.
Lewis Collins, it sounds like he's going to be available for Saturday.
Finley Crask
the same.
Dan Martin
is all right. Obviously, we've spoken about Moxie. He's come back. Mm-hmm. And even... we're not going to see him this Saturday, but Asa Hall seems to be quite close to moving in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kevin Dawson is doing a lot of work, so he's hit that period of his convalescence where he's now working very hard.
And Dylan De Silva sat on the bench on Tuesday, didn't get a game on Tuesday. I think all the Plainmoor fans are looking forward to seeing a bit more of Dylan.
Yeah, he's not done it yet, has he, since he's come back?
He hasn't really... He's only come on off the bench.
He started the last game. Yeah. So not the last game, the Saturday game. So and didn't cover himself in glory. So whether he's just not up to speed yet.
I'm looking forward to seeing some more of Dylan.
The pop side love him. They sing his name even if he's not on the bench.
They absolutely do. The Southwest Mini League.
Yes, it's taken. Yeah,
it's taken off. At the moment, Yeovil are very much on top of that. They've won both of their games.
Right.
They won at 3-2 at Western Supermare on Tuesday night. Goal scorers included Jamie Sendles White and Frank Nublet.
Yeah.
So that can be interesting when we play them, isn't it?
Yeah. Not really looking forward to that game.
Western Supermare have got 3 points in their two games, and Torquay 3 points from their one game at the moment. The other results in the Southwest Mini League on Tuesday: Chippenham 3, Taunton 3, Truro 1, Bath 1.
Yeah.
One great thing to come out of Bath, by the way, Alex Fletcher is playing again.
He's playing.
He came on as a sub against Hampton Richmond.
Excellent stuff.
Bear in mind that it's not that long ago that after colliding with the pitch side advertising board, he spent 5 days in a coma. He pretty much had to learn to walk again, and he's now playing football for a team.
I struggled to get out of bed some mornings.
Absolutely. But I mean, he's got loads of Paignton and Torquay connections, Alex. Yeah, we're delighted to see Alex back.
Played for us, didn't he, on loan from Plymouth.
Wouldn't it be great to see him establish himself back in that side again?
Yeah.
As they push for
playoffs.
He's a good player.
I mean, he went there from Tiverton after signing for Tiverton following his release by Plymouth, and he was outstanding for Tiverton.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. An event that's happening at Plainmoor on Sunday afternoon, the afternoon for Holmesy.
Oh, yes.
Paul Holmes, this is happening in Boots and Laces, by the way, from 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Paul Holmes, who was a fullback of Torquay, went on to play for Everton with some distinction, played for various other teams.
Played in the Premiership for Everton, yeah.
Did. He played for Torquay between 88 and 92 and then came back between 99
and 03. He had the most lovely right-footed ping of a ball across pitch.
He did. There was a point in that team where, I think he was in Kevin Hodges' team, where he was taking all the corners.
Yeah.
And he would... few times we saw him just doing doggies across the pitch. A corner from the left would go out, he'd have to go across, take it from the right, he'd have to go across, take it from the left. He was the absolute dead ball expert.
It's hot, isn't it, Guy? I'm sweating here.
Just a bit on the warm side. You're just worried about being able to get out of this car.
Yeah, yeah.
He's had a cancer diagnosis, Holmesy. So, you know, the players are rallying around, they're doing their bit for him. Darren Moore is involved Sunday afternoon. Paul Hall, Sean Joyce, Russell Musker, and more. There's an auction with some fabulous lots in it. Yep. That's all on the Torquay United Club website. It's ticket only. So go and have a look on the club website, get yourself a ticket, and play a part in that as a way of helping somebody who's got Torquay United.
He was a nice bloke, Paul. Yeah. I mean, I was working around the club at the time, and he was a really nice bloke.
Torquay United women have been in action week. They've gone up a level, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they're still finding their feet at this new level. They lost at Wall Park on Sunday. They went 2-0 up against Moneyfields. What a strange name for a football club that is, Moneyfields, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it is a club that has men's teams as well, but the women's team seem to play at quite a high level for the size of the club.
Emma Hollingsworth scored twice for Torquay, put them 2-0 up at Wall Park, and then Moneyfields came back and beat them 5-2. And the women lost at Exeter last night.
Yep.
Again, quite a heavy defeat. Don't read anything into it. It's early in the season. Good to see them in action again. Good to see them playing at Wall Park.
Yeah.
Where I was on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Did you enjoy that?
I really enjoyed four penalties. Brixham beat Helston 3-1. Helston are still top of the table.
Yeah.
They stayed top of the table just ahead of Falmouth. But Brixham and Buckland, to be fair, are working their way gradually up the Western League Premier table.
Yeah.
Yeah, four penalties. The first was awarded after 22 seconds. talking Brixham's first attack. Penalty awarded. Charlie Johansson puts them 1-0 up.
Mm-hmm.
Three quarters of the way through the first half, Helston are awarded a penalty, which Grant Fisher saves quite magnificently, an agile dive to the left, and Grant Fisher saves it. And then in injury time at the end of the first half, Brixham get awarded another penalty, which Charlie Johansson tucks away for 2-0.
Yeah.
Into the second half, Helston are awarded their second penalty for a foul down in front of the houses, down at the far end of the pitch. They score this one, it's 2-1. 2-1. And then Brixham score the third goal, which didn't cross the line, Rich.
It did not
cross the line. I was standing right next to the goal with some of the lads that I used to play with up there 40 years ago, who are now with the Brixham Ultras, wearing their Hawaiian shirts. and it was a shot came in from a narrow angle wide on the right. Helston defender slid in, cleared it. The Helston fan stood next to me, said, "That didn't even touch the paint." And he's right.
Right.
It did not touch the paint.
What was the referee or the linesman doing?
Linesman saw it. He thought it crossed the line. The referee... Actually, the funny thing about it, and the thing that I love about non-league and well down the pyramid football, referee came across and had a chat with us about it.
Did he?
We were standing behind the goal. Obviously, because Brixham had scored, we were quite quietly saying to each other, "I don't think that crossed the line." I don't think it crossed the line either. There was a break in the play, and the referee came over and said, "Well, I can only go on what the linesman tells me, and the linesman tells me it's crossed the line." So we actually had a briefing from the referee.
You put him right
during the game. We're all standing there going, "No, it didn't," but the goal's given.
Yeah.
And as my old mate Mark at Wall Park says, if the referee says it's a goal, it's a goal.
Uh-huh.
So Brixham win 3-1. More good football from the Western League Premier. You get it at Buckland, you get it at Brixham. The draw has been made for the opening games in the Devon St Luke's Bowl.
Yeah, one's been played actually. I can't remember which one it was. Yeah, one's already been played.
It's almost like a secret tournament, this, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's difficult to find.
I doubt
fixtures.
Very much if we play our game.
Torquay have been drawn away at Ivy Bridge.
Yeah.
The games are supposed to be played around about the 26th, 27th.
I think they've got to be played by then.
Have they?
That's the way it works. So. If there's a gap in people's calendars that suits both teams, they're played whenever.
I would imagine that with the small squad, the injuries that we have, no reserve team, unless a youth team is played.
There used to be a rule that if you didn't play in your local FA tournament, you couldn't be in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
That used to be the rule. And then it was altered slightly so that you could pay a fine.
Yeah,
I don't think that even exists anymore because Torquay haven't played in it for the last 2 years.
No.
I don't think
they will probably forfeit that game at Ivy Bridge for the right reasons, I suppose. Plymouth Argyle have been drawn away at Biddeford.
Mm-hmm.
Exeter City have been drawn at Crediton.
Yep.
And the other local teams, Brixham are at home to Plymouth Parkway.
Yep, that's
which
a
tough has
game.
Been played on September the 19th at Wall Park. Buckland, I haven't written Buckland down.
Oh.
Why have I done that? How have I not written Buckland down? Oh, what an idiot. But there are other local games include Dartmouth against Stoke Gabriel and Torbay Police.
Yep.
Newton Spurs against Torrington.
Yep.
Sidmouth versus Bovey Tracy.
I think that might have been the one that's been played.
And Torridge Side versus Tynmouth.
Oh, it was that one. Okay. It was that one that was played, yeah. And I think Tynmouth won.
And Buckland are playing, but I haven't written anything down.
Sorry, Bucks.
We'll put that right next week. But yeah, I mean, that was the standard of football at
you
that level.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
It's very enjoyable. You're right next to the pitch. You can have a pint. You can have a chat with the referee. We had a chat with the Helston goalkeeper, which was all very convivial while the play was down at the other end. Actually, it was when the penalty was awarded. We were saying, are you going to let the same bloke take that as took the one in the first half? But yeah, it's proper grassroots football. Enjoy it wherever you watch it. Go watch your football at Buckland, Brixham, Dartmouth, Stoke Gabriel, Newton Abbott, Bovey, Tynmouth. All of those places, they'll be delighted to welcome you if you're not going to play.
They will. Is next week's podcast the Tim Sills edition?
I think it will be.
Yeah.
I think it will be. Yeah. I'm hoping to grab a chat with Tim, which if I can do, that would be great.
You had a chat with him when he was the manager of Hanworthy.
Hanworthy
and Wimborne are more or less close neighbours. There's only a couple of miles in between them, I think, something like that. So he left Hanworthy and went to Wimborne during two summers ago or whatever, which, considering they both played in the same division, was a bit of a weird move, but there must have been reasons for it.
Wimborne, of course, beat Tiverton in the FA Cup
1-0, extra time, or not extra time, time added on.
Injury time.
Yeah.
So Wimborne versus Torquay United in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup.
Mm.
Will be played at Wimborne on September the 16th.
We'll keep our powder dry for next week, but it's going to be a goodie.
Wimborne managed by Tim Sills.
The masked man.
Ticket information for that one is apparently on the Torquay United website.
Yeah, apparently there's 600 tickets available to Torquay fans.
It's not very many.
No.
It's not many. I imagine they will be selling like hotcakes. So if you want to go to Wimborne, get yourselves
on
the website.
Did hotcakes ever sell like hotcakes?
I don't know.
I mean,
I've never been in a situation where hotcakes have been sold.
No.
But who knows? Well, there's one to talk about for next week.
Yeah, they'll be selling like tickets for a game between Torquay and Wimborne.
Who'd have thought? But there you go. Thank you very much for listening. I think we've covered every base.
We have, yeah.
Next week will be a bit of an FA Cup special. Hoping to grab a word with Tim, but he's a busy man. Let's see if we can grab him before next week's podcast. We'll have a chat with Gary or Aaron before that, and we'll be back with...
And I might have stopped sweating by then. I don't know what's going on here. I'm having a flush, I think.
I think you possibly... It's your age, mate.
Yeah.
It's your age.
Your 50s, eh?
Thanks for listening. We've been Guy and Richard. We've been in the car park at Seal Hay.
We have.
Heard the birds and the tractors and Tomo getting out of the tiny window of opportunity.
You just missed that Alan Richardson's in-car disco.
We did. We will now have to try and get ourselves out of this car park.
Yeah. I think I've got...
You've got a clear run at it, haven't you?
I'm not sure,
If we're not at the game on Saturday at Playmore, we're still trying to get out of the car.
And I'm still sweating.
Thanks for listening. As ever, we finish.
Come on, you yellows. Come on, you yellows. Flying high below the Wembley Archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. The fellow fried buckle up for the ride of yellows.